Tanya, I have great news.
Yes?
With all of your wedding activities on the horizon, I thought you'd be excited to find out the sale you wait for is finally here. Macy's Friends and Family Sale.
Yes! What perfect timing.
You can get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more.
This is incredible. I need to plan for my bachelorette party, bridal shower, rehearsal dinner. I mean, so now I know exactly where to look.
Exactly. And you can get 15% off beauty, makeup, and more, plus free shipping when you spend $25.
Amazing. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is April 25th through May 5th. Shop at Macy's.com and in-store.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing that you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Scrubbing in with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in, and Tanya and I are together. We're back together. Easton and Mark are on Zoom, but they're here in our hearts. But Tanya and I are face-to-face, directly across from the table. She's basically running a studio in her apartment.
I'm going to add engineer to my resume because I really feel like I really came through on this. I'm not going to lie.
Do you remember the whole tearful breakdown of her technology just a short, when was that, like a month ago with the live podcast? And here we are.
A lot has changed.
Yeah. Feels good.
A lot of growing.
I had a renewed sense of energy waking up knowing that we were doing this together. To be honest, and I've seen some comments in the Facebook group about the podcast, like it hasn't been like the same or the energy is low, which things have been hard. So like,
yeah,
I'm sure our energy has been low and our spirits have been low, but I honestly, if I'm just being totally transparent, I did not want to do the podcast the past few weeks. And yeah, it was like a struggle. I didn't wake up. I can't remember a time since doing the podcast that I wasn't like excited to record the podcast.
Same. No, like literally same.
And like, it was kind of dark to not want to do
it. So dark. I was like going through things in my head like, what is this? And I think it's hard just because I think everybody's going through it right now, you know, in just different ways. And I know like we're both individually going through things like personally, and just the world is going through so much. And so it just really did. It felt dark. And I remember you would like send me the screenshots of everybody saying that it felt off. Uh-huh. And I was like, it totally makes sense that translates. And that, I guess it's a testament to like how authentic we are, because like
we couldn't hide it.
But it's like all that stuff. I kind of was like thinking, I was like, I have this whole setup for the morning show. Like it literally looks like a board. Mm-hmm. And we've now kind of been we're a quarantine. Like we've, we're exposed to each other. We're both being super careful, but we've been exposed to each other. So I was like, why doesn't Becca come do the podcast from my apartment? Mm-hmm. East into the rescue, and here we are, 1 week later.
So, yeah, it just, I woke up excited to do the podcast, which felt so good because I haven't felt that excitement. And it felt good, like, Mark posting that post on the Facebook group.
Totally.
We're doing it for the scrubbers. Like, it just was like, let's go.
Let's go, baby. We back. Me too. When I saw Mark's post, I was like,
So, basically, this podcast is like a revamped version of ourselves. Like, I think, like, going just like quarantine and then the Black Lives Matter movement and wanting to keep that momentum going and, like, also being a positive podcast and talking about things that are important, but being kind of an escape for all of you, because I know we're all in the same spot, and I get so many messages that are like, I'm really going through a hard time, or I'm alone. I'm not able to see my friends or family, or I don't have a lot of friends. And so we want to be a place that feels like that. And I think, you know, when we're personally going through things, it's hard to put on this like happy facade. And especially when you're just listening to us, because I think it really comes across in our tone. And I've been down, and I just am like ready to, it feels good to be back.
No, I feel this totally same way. And I feel like everybody keeps saying like, 2020's canceled, like, you know, whatever, let's pick it back up in 2021. And I'm like not a good person to just be like, okay, let's just like pause our lives. And, you know, like I was kind of in this weird headspace of like, what am I doing? Is what I'm doing, does it really matter? Like, I'm not educated. All these things were just like going through my head, self-doubt. And I kind of had to like really look within and really just kind of do a lot of growth on my own, but also realize that like my strength, where my strength comes from is just doing the best that I can. You know what I mean? And like knowing that like my intention is good. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of at that place now where like, I'm like rebirthed.
Reborn?
I'm reborn. And I feel good. And like, I feel ready. Like I feel like I have a good head on my shoulders. I feel like I have my confidence back. I felt like I was a little bit like Sonsy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. Mark Easton, how's it going over
there? We're fine. We're enjoying the reboot, the rebirth, the vibrance of you two. And I want to hear more about the tennis match.
Oh, we've had a couple dates over the past 2 weeks.
Well, so, okay. So Tanya and I both kind of going through our own things personally. We kind of lost this communication with each other. There was just like we were kind of a tiff.
But I wouldn't even call it a tiff. It was more like a standoff.
Yeah, it was a standoff. So, I think we both got, there was like stuff with the podcast that we were just kind of like, I think we were on the same page, but the communication was
totally off.
And so for, what was it, like a week or 2 weeks?
It was a week, but it felt like a month.
So we didn't really talk, and then we had to do the podcast, and we both were like,
oh,
all right, here we are. Hi, Tanya. Good to see you. And it was like, you know, what is it called? Pulling teeth.
Totally. And it's just like, so what's the thing that I love about the Scrub Sisters is that they could totally feel that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like
they didn't know what.
Right.
But they
right.
knew something was going on.
Yeah.
And I, to be honest, I had so much going on in my head personally with like other things that I was like, I don't really have. I know that we're going to be fine. Like, we'll come back at some point. But like, I didn't have the mental space to fix it. And so, you know, Tanya reached out and was like, do you want to have dinner? So I came over, had dinner. I think I cried within like 5 minutes of being in here because like you are so, you really are like a vital part of my life. And I was so sad about where we like, just, you know, that we hadn't talked, but I also was so sad about so many other things. I knew I didn't have the mental capacity to like be the one to reach out or be like the like stronger person. And so I just felt really emotional, and it was just so good. And you brought out like these fancy glasses and ice cubes, and it just
no, but like I felt that, you know, it's like I was kind of going through my own stuff, and I like had it was a little bit the same where I just felt like I just didn't have the bandwidth to like to with you. Yeah. But then I was like, everything that you're going through is so much more than what, like, my stuff is minor. And like, no, but like, it's true. And I was just like, I actually felt bad that I wasn't there for those like 5 or 6 days, you know, like I was just like, I need to just suck it up. Like, this is literally stupid. Yeah. Like, the dumbest thing. And so I was like, I'm gonna like make dinner for her, made her a little flower arrangement. Yeah. You know, really wifed it up over here.
She did. She made me a flower arrangement. She made me miso glazed salmon, a healthy salad. I was like, wow. And wine. It was just good. It was like
all anti-inflammatory.
Oh, yeah. I felt so.
Did you drive through Jack in the Box on the way home?
No.
Wow.
I do love Jack in the Box though. I've been like decently healthy, but this weekend I like went off the rails. I feel like swollen with just hot dogs and hamburgers, and
it's kind of nuts because I because of all my UTI stuff, I've like taken really drastic steps. And one of the steps I took, I guess UTI bacteria feeds off of sugar, and so I was like, screw it, I'm done with refined sugar. And I like cut it out cold turkey. And this weekend I had like a pie and like a crumble. Like, I had two different desserts.
Good and for you on the pie. Good for you.
Thank you. Well, it was like a soft serve pie. It was like a dairy free soft serve pie. Okay. I actually think you might enjoy it.
I bet I would.
I'm gonna send it to you and tell me if you would like it. But okay. It was delicious. I don't have any regrets. But the next day I woke up and I felt like weird, like not hungover, but just like sluggish and weird. And I was like, whoa, is this what sugar like does to you?
Well, yeah.
Has it been doing that to me my whole life? And I just didn't know because I've been eating it, like, you know?
Well, I've like pretty much cut out real soda, except for like once a week, if I get In-N-Out or something, I'll have a Dr. Pepper with it. But like in general, I pretty much cut it out. But this weekend, I was just like, didn't care. And I felt so off. I felt like I had a headache all weekend. I felt so, like last night I was trying to say something about spinach and I kept saying Spanish. I was like, am I?
I know. It's brain fog. Yeah. It causes brain fog.
Seriously. And then Tanya sends me this like diagram of what soda does to your body. And it was like brain damage. So then I was like really in my head that I've like done permanent damage to myself. So luckily I feel better today, but yeah, I went to say spinach and like for some reason it was changing to Spanish when it came out.
I'm telling Anyways, you. Welcome to the Healthy Diet Club. It's a fun place to be. Really, you'll thrive there.
Yeah, I don't think I'll thrive there, but I need to have some more. I was doing pretty well. And then for some reason I like was able to like rationalize everything because I'm working out 3 times a week, like hard. And yeah. So I was like, it's probably, you know, balanced.
But like eating healthy can be delicious. Like I made her this like delicious miso glazed salmon. It was
really good.
So yummy. And this yummy mango avocado salad with fresh, I made my own dressing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Delicious. And healthy.
Yeah, it was amazing. I actually need to get the miso. I make good salmon, but I need that miso glaze.
I'm going to give it to you.
So we did that. We reconnected. And then she's been playing tennis with Red Star. And I love tennis, but I don't have anyone to play with because 95P does not play tennis.
I would pay money to see that, actually.
No, because if we're like double teams, I would get so frustrated.
Oh, okay.
So, unless y'all were on a team against me.
We've done that with cornhole, and that was not, it was really a blowout.
We thrived in cornhole.
So. Yeah.
So, Tanya, we made plans to go play tennis, and I see on her Instagram story, she posts, like, her outfit. She has, like, a full tennis bag for her rackets. She's in a full dress, a tennis dress.
That's right.
And I was already intimidated. I showed up in like my sports bra and leggings for my workout earlier. I forgot water. It was so hot outside. And I'm like, I'm intimidated. I don't feel prepared. Tanya has like a full outfit. She has a uniform. And I don't know. Something just felt, I didn't feel good about it. And so we played and she beat me 6-3.
Which is not that bad. Like, that's not a blowout.
Listen, for myself, it's bad.
That's true.
And so then we had time to play another, like, half a game. And I won that. But, like, it was tight.
So it was tight. And I was also exhausted. Like, I was so hot.
Okay, I know. I was exhausted too. I didn't have sunscreen on. I had done a workout before, like burpees galore. I was like dead. But I really felt like I could have taken that second game. So we will have to have a rematch.
That's fair enough.
And I'll have a skirt on.
I'm going to tell you that having the outfit really does something to the game. Like, I really felt like Maria Sharapova. Like, I was like,
Tanya would run at me and, like, point her finger and slam it. And it was so intimidating. Like, Tanya to me is not what I would consider someone that's, like, super athletic.
No, not at all.
But tennis is...
It's my sport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, she would run up and point to you, like, as she spiked it on your side of the net?
Yeah, so like she'd run at me with, like, her opposite hand pointed and then, like, slam it.
Wow.
Like, have you seen when, like, those, like, when the balls come really high and, like, you can
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, I do it in ping pong. It's exciting in ping pong, and I always mess it up. But the point is, I didn't realize you were so competitive that you're just trying to just slam it down her throat.
She would hit it so hard, and yeah, I was just kind of like, cool.
It's weird because I don't think I'm competitive, but then sometimes when I'm like in it, I'm like, oh, I am. But if I were to have lost, I wouldn't be like sad. But when I'm in it, I want to win. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does make sense, yeah.
Yeah, can't relate. I hate losing. It's horrible. Like, yeah, my youngest sister came back in town from Florida, and we were playing darts yesterday, and she's never played before, and hits three bullseyes in a row. Like, 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I've lost too much this weekend. I'm done.
I'm going to put the games down for now.
Yeah. Like, who wants to play basketball?
I would lose so bad. Oof. I don't even think, oof. I don't even know how to start.
Yeah, that'd be fun. How's Red Star? Everything good?
Everything is going. I'm in like a little bit of it's weird because I share so much and like I want to. Do you know what I mean? It's like I don't feel pressure to share things. Like I enjoy it. Like this is like my life and this is what I signed up for. And I feel like we all kind of like learn from each other. You know what I mean? And so I'd love to share, but it's like I'm in this weird phase of it right now where I'm just like trying to figure it out for myself. So it's like, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to say anything too premature. Mm-hmm. So,
I know, cause I saw a lot of people were talking about, I think I saw some comments talking about, you know, when we first started the podcast, you were single and you were very much representing the single girl who listened to the podcast because you were going on the dates, you were meeting people, you were figuring out what you want and what you didn't want. And all of a sudden you're in this like committed relationship and they're like, wait, what about me? I'm still looking.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you that it's so weird because when you're in, like, there's reasons why I haven't been talking about it, and those I could probably talk about soon, actually, to be honest, but there's a reason why. And I can't wait for that day to like be able to just like share that, because it's important, you know? It's like, and I've also never been in a situation that I'm in right now. So it's just like, you know, navigating through something that I've never been in before during a global pandemic and like a civil rights movement. And so my brain is just, you know, being in love for the first time in like almost a decade. So it's just like muddling through all these things. And what's interesting is like when you're dating, everything's kind of, it's not so heavy because it's like, you know, I'm not really attached, and I feel like I was good at kind of like dating, but no, that's actually very false. I was always really attached, like first date. I was like writing his last name in my
like, is anyone gonna call her out on this or
but it's interesting because like when it's so different now, and so it's like, and I'm in a different phase of my life that it's like, I want to make sure that everything that I, you know, it's like, I didn't come this far to come this far, to only come this far. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And so I just want to make sure that I'm like clear with, you know, my expectations of the relationship and what I want. And I know everything obviously is about compromise, and trust me, like, I am, but like, you know, I think it's really important that I kind of figure out where my head's at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've always admired people who are able to talk about things like relationship things and family things and not have that worry of, well, because everyone's, you know, the thing is like, you chose this life, like you chose to live your life in public. So part of that is sharing, you know, your life. Mm-hmm. But the other people in my life didn't necessarily sign up for it just because I did. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like talking about more like vulnerable, serious topics. So I have to, I'm always like weighing like, okay, if I say this, is someone going to be upset because that was...
See, I wish I had that chip a little bit because that's not where my thought process is. Mine right now is just like, I don't know myself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's going on in my head for me. So I don't want to speak out because like,
yeah,
it's more in my mind versus like anybody else.
That must be like our, you know, personality type.
Yeah.
Just the difference there of like how I talked about it last week with Caitlin, but just like our Enneagram and how it really, I just am constantly like, my brain works where everything I think about or that I'm going to share, I have like all these people that are in my like vision, peripheral and front. Like they're just there lingering, being like, are you going to say that? Did I give you permission to say that?
You know what's going to be an interesting day?
What?
When those things and those people just kind of aren't there.
When will that be? How I don't do know. I do that?
I think it'll come. Because like, really? Yeah, I don't honestly. And it's funny because I saw a scrubber actually ask me that. They were like, how are you so open and honest? Like knowing your parents listen, and you're talking about like UTIs and sex and stuff. And I'm like, it's weird because when I talk, when I share, and it's maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a bad characteristic. I don't know.
It's not.
I don't think about anybody else other than the people that I'm talking to. Do you know what I mean? So it's like the people that I'm like our listeners.
Yeah.
They can benefit from me opening up about the fact that I have a UTI every week. And yes. Lord knows I got plenty of responses, you know? So it's like, we're all going through these things together. And the thing that I have found, especially because of the situation I'm in right now, I have found that like nobody talks about that situation. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm going to change that.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird thing to navigate through. And it's like, nobody talks about it. And I really only have two people in my life that have gone through this situation that I get advice from. But it's like two people out of how many people do I talk to all the time? Like I have so many friends, you know?
I know. It's truly a gift. Because in my head, I always am like, I have so many people that could relate to things I'm going through. So many people could relate to the things I'm going through. Multiple things that I'm going through. But I just am so, you know, I take everyone else's feelings into consideration of what will they think if they hear this and listen to this and, or they feel like disrespected that I spoke on their behalf, if that makes sense, which on the other side, it's my version, you know, it's my story and like my perspective, but I do that. I wish I could cut half of it off. I'm fine keeping half of that way of thinking.
Yeah.
I'd like to have your half on the other 50%.
But it's just like, you also have to think about it as like, this is your life. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's your life. So it's like, what do you want to do with it?
Yeah. And I'd rather just, you know, be more on the cautious side rather than laying in bed, having anxiety, being like, why did I talk about that?
Totally.
So maybe I'll bring that up to my therapist this week.
Yeah, ask your therapist. See what she thinks.
That's been nice being able to be like having these revelations or these moments of awareness and being like, I'm gonna talk to my therapist about that.
Yeah, that's nice. That's actually really nice. Yeah. I need one of those. Oh, by the way though, I do have a really funny story about Red Star when we were in Palm Springs. I didn't tell you about it because I wanted to save it because it's so... Do you think Becca would find it funny? Mark, you've heard it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think everyone will enjoy that story.
Okay.
Why don't we take a break and come back with that story? We have questions from Scrubbers, and I do have a game if we have time.
We love a game.
Bye-bye for now.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes, 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
2 sisters and 1 friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. Becca, let's talk about one of our goals for 2024, shopping sustainably.
Yes, and you know what's been amazing? Being able to shop sustainably at Macy's.
Agreed. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference.
It's so refreshing. I've been loving exploring their selection from brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more.
Plus, here's something really special. Macy's is not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. Did you know that they're bringing more parks to more people by supporting the Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards project?
It's incredible. They're transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces, making sure our communities are healthy and livable for generations to come.
And here's where we can all make a difference. You can join Macy's in this incredible effort by donating online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Every little bit counts, and together we can create a greener, more sustainable future.
So head over to macys.com/purpose to learn more and make your contribution today. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Let me tell you about this social battery over here.
Yours?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It is drained.
Why?
Because I'm not giving myself enough Tanya time.
Oh, I know how important Tanya time is.
I'm not giving it to myself because I've been working a lot and I think I've just been overly social that I'm not factoring in the time I need just for myself.
Well, I also think it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially you, and especially with social gatherings picking up after winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time.
Well, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I do think one of the things that has helped me with like setting boundaries of where I'm spending my energy has been therapy, and knowing how to, first of all, set the boundaries, and also knowing how to pay attention that when I'm feeling drained and I don't have capacity, that I can tap into a place where I have more to give.
And it's also built in you time.
Yes,
which
exactly.
Is very, very necessary. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/scrubbing today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/scrubbing. Okay, so I went to Palm Springs with Red Star. Uh-huh. because I was on vacation from work last week. So I took a few days, went to Palm Springs, and actually like felt very safe at a hotel, like safer than some places I've gone, like some restaurants that I've gone to, which is actually pretty cool. So we go to this hotel, and I don't know, like, you know, I sleep completely naked, like fully sans, like naked.
Even with Red Star?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Even with him. And I have
does
been.
Does he also?
No, he wears,
tidy tidies?
Yeah, he wears like underwear and a t-shirt. Like, yeah, he wears clothes.
I get that.
Yeah.
I wear underwear and a t-shirt too.
You guys are very similar in more ways than one. And so I, you know, that's just like been my thing for years. And so we're sleeping in Palm Springs in this hotel. I get up in the middle of the night. I start feeling like super queasy.
Oh no.
And I like run to the bathroom and I'm like, oh my God. Like I just yak like there's no tomorrow. And I was like, I drink too. Like my first, I was like, there's no way. I like had like two glasses of wine and like, you know what I mean? Like there's no way it was alcohol, but I was just like, oh my gosh. So I like, and I was feeling like really, really weak. And I mind you, I'm completely butt naked, like over the toilet. Just, it's like not cute,
water.
Not like the opposite of cute. Right. And I have like spit in my hair and like, oh. It was just gross. And so I was like, I'll just like wash up and like get back into bed. And like, it's fine. All of a sudden I start yakking again. Like, so bad. And I was like starting to get like weak, and then I was like calling for him because I was like, this is like something's like not right. I didn't even have the energy to like move, so I literally like lay down on the bathroom floor completely butt naked, okay, with vomit in my hair and like things probably like just so gross. And I just like couldn't move. I was so weak, and I'm like calling his name and like he's not responding, and I would just start crying because I was like
I get that.
I didn't know what was wrong with me. So then I guess I just passed out. Like I fell asleep on the bathroom floor. And then I guess he got up in the middle of the night and was like calling after me, like, where are you? But while he comes in the bathroom, sees me like.
So vulnerable.
So vulnerable and like naked. And like he starts freaking out because he doesn't know like what's going on. And he's just like, what's happening? I was like, I just keep throwing up. Like I was like literally throwing up every 30 minutes. We think it was food poisoning, but. So mind you, now I'm like butt naked, vomit, toilet, hair, gross, probably rolls in my stomach. Like I don't know, just in bad positions. And he's like holding my hair back and just being so sweet. And I was like emotional. And then somehow he like got clothes from my suitcase and tried to put clothes on me, but like wasn't going to happen. And so then somehow he like got me into bed. Now this is where it gets worse. He got me back into bed and he brought the trash can like over by my, you know, head. And he was like timing. Like he would write down every time I vomited to like make sure.
Still vomiting.
Yeah. Like it was like every 20 minutes and then it was like every 45 minutes. And he was like timing it just to make sure it was like getting further and further apart. But at this point I'm like so weak. Like I don't have anything in me. And like I keep waking up in the middle of the night and just like heaving into this trash can. He keeps like picking it up after I puke and like washing it out for me. And then mind you, I'm also like farting uncontrollably, like I can't, like
quite the picture.
I couldn't do anything. No, there's like no way. Like I'm yakking and farting and like in bed, and I was just so mortified. And like he could not have been any sweeter about the whole like holding my hair back and cleaning the trash can out. And just like I was so mortified. I was like, I'm never sleeping naked again. Like I can't ever, that can't ever happen. And like he was so sweet about it that like, and I know it's fine, it doesn't matter, he doesn't care, he's just happy that I'm fine. But like the image of myself on that bathroom floor butt naked and like yakking, I'm like a sight to have been seen for sure.
I have not had that happen to me recently, but I've had it happen to me before where it wasn't that I started out naked, but I got so hot in the midst of like nausea that I took all my clothes off and just laid down. This was induced from alcohol though.
Oh my gosh.
And 95p like, somehow came in and was like, what the heck? I was like, I did not realize. I mean, I was probably just slurring my words. I was like, I didn't know I drank this much. And like you know how I am about showering before bed.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I have been so hammered, and I still get home and like shower, wash my face, do my skin routine, brush my teeth. I don't remember anything, but I remember being on the floor being like, don't come in.
Right, like curled over. Okay. Like I was like curled over. I was like, this is not like, please don't look at, like I kept being like, don't look over here.
I was, before you said you were farting, I was going to be like, did you fart? Wait, are you a loud vomiter? Because like mine's aggressively loud. Like I could never throw up without someone in the room hearing me.
You know, it's interesting because I think it was more like a, I can't even explain it because it was like my body was like doing, like it was like my stomach was like pushing it out of me. Like I didn't want to.
Yeah,
do
yeah.
you know what I mean? It was like the craziest feeling. Like I was like, this is awful. And then like the next day my throat like hurt. Like I was like, ow. Like,
yeah. It's so weird because based on your Instagram story from that weekend, you would never know the trauma.
I know, but do you know, even this is like the weirder thing is we woke up the next day and he was expecting me just to be like done for, like laying in bed, just yeah. like sick the next day. And I like bounced back. Like I woke up and I was feeling totally fine. Like I was a little bit
weak
and dehydrated, but once we had breakfast, I was like totally fine. It's so
what
weird.
You eat?
That's what I don't know. I actually don't think I've had food poisoning like that in like ever, maybe.
The only memory I have throwing up like that where it was, I was actually mortified because it was my first, I think I've talked about this, my first trip with Robert. And this is before we were even like actually dating. We were just kind of hanging out and I went with him and then Zach Coulter.
And what happened?
We went to Vegas for the, when
oh,
I met you.
Yeah.
And I got overheated at the pool. I was drinking, which I didn't drink a lot. And it was so hot in Vegas. And I remember like slithering into the pool thinking like, I'm going to pass out. At least I'll be in the water and someone can grab me. And this girl from like Us Weekly or magazine or somewhere was trying to do an interview with me. And I was like slurring. I couldn't speak. And then we go back to the room and they stayed in the room while I just vomited. I was like, can y'all leave? I don't know you well enough. This
yeah,
is so embarrassing.
That would not be good. That would not be good.
I was like, guys, this is not cool. Go back to the pool and I'll be down never.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. It was actually like the night. I'm like, it was unfortunate that that happened, but it was almost like it happened in the middle of the night. So it didn't really like disrupt the trip at all because
no.
I was fine the next day.
It was good to see how he responds to, you know.
Yeah. Sickness. And what's actually really funny is he kept saying, he was like, you handle that like a champ. I can't get over that. Like you just really just, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like,
do you feel free to fart freely
now? No, I'm so mortified. Like, and my farts aren't loud. Like it wasn't like I was loud. It was just smelly, which is even worse.
Wait, that night? They yeah. were, oh my God, I'd much rather sound than
me too. It was awful, but I didn't have the energy to hold it in. Like it was just like there was no way I was holding them in.
Okay, I never fart in front of 9-5 feet, but one night I took an edible. But I took, okay, so I like the max I'll take is 5 milligrams, and at worst I'm just like giggly, you know. But I took a different one that I have never taken before, and I took probably like 7, I guess. It was like half of something. And I have never felt so just like
I
couldn't even like lift my arms off the couch.
Scary.
And I got really nauseous, and I think I'm gonna fart, but I can't like stop
hold it.
I don't know what's gonna happen. It's just gonna happen. And it happened, and 9-5-P was like, are you kidding me? What was that? And I was just like laughing and I was like, don't worry about it. Not what you, it wasn't what you think it was. But that was, unfortunately, I was reminded the next morning and I was like, what are you, that did not happen. I knew it happened, but I was trying to deny.
It's just the worst. I really am just like traumatized from that experience.
It sucks.
But it sounds like you both went up in each other's estimation. Like he was so impressed with how you handled it and you were so impressed with how he handled it. It sounds like a win-win.
Yeah, y'all like a newfound respect for one another.
It was. It really took the relationship to a next level.
That's really true.
Very true.
So you know what's funny is a lot of these questions that the scrubbers sent, you guys have already answered in this episode. Like a lot of people asking for an update on Red Star, and we covered that. And the thing you mentioned about being so honest when you know your parents are listening. Here's one from Devin DeLong. Tanya, what's your biggest takeaway from calling in the one? A lot of scrubbers are reading the book right now, but what was the biggest aha moment for you?
There were so many, but the one that I really cling to was it helped me realize dating patterns that I had that related back to like my childhood, which I found wildly interesting. And like, it goes back to like my parents' divorce and like things that happened with that. And my mom just like being a modern woman and like wanting to, you know, have her own thing. And so one of the patterns, this was like one of the two that I realized that I did a lot, was when I was newly dating somebody right off the bat, it was like, we go on a date on my time because I have a job. I need to go to sleep. Like, it was very much like, I want you to see me as an equal. Mm-hmm. And I was just like hammering that into people's heads when it was just like, I didn't need to be that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a big pattern. And then the other pattern was, I was dating people that, I could not, what's the word? I was dating people that were either like emotionally or geographically undesirable, yeah, so that I was protecting myself to not get hurt.
You didn't need the book for that. We were pointing that out for you on a regular basis. Yeah. On
we
this
were
show,
calling the one
on Ryan's
we were
show.
Calling the one.
Yeah, it was everyone. It was unanimous.
But I'd say those are like, that was a huge kind of, because I've never really, you know, thought about things in my dating life. Like, I'd never really taken a look inward and then looked back at like, growing up in my childhood and kind of had these like big aha moments.
How old were you when your parents got divorced?
5.
And then how old were you when they got back together?
15.
That's, wow.
That, yeah. I mean, that alone, there's a lot. I mean, it's amazing. It's like such a great story that you really, I've never heard it before. Only in like movies.
Never. I've honestly like never heard anybody that this has ever happened to.
Yeah.
Really.
So it's something that's so unique. And of course you would have things that you were, that probably you developed in that time without even meaning to, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. I would.
Yeah. Interesting.
All right. Question for Becca. This has to do with Olivia Caridi. Remember her?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She was on Almost Famous, and she was talking about her time, you know, because they replayed the season that she was on the Bachelor Greatest Seasons of All Time. And she had a hard time in the mansion. A lot of people were really nasty to her. And she mentioned that Becca was one of the only people in the Bachelor Mansion that pulled her aside and truly cared about her. And Brooke Marszalek posted that she wanted to hear your side of that story.
Oh, that made me emotional.
Oh, yeah, that's really sad and, like, sweet.
It's, like, so vague. And, like, that whole, all of that is so vague in my mind. She had, I guess, like, the villain edit. And so she was kind of secluded in the sense that I felt like the producers would like take her away for like the ITMs, which are in the moment interviews. And
oh my, ITMs.
I think that's what they're
called. It's just like the lingo, yeah, is so good.
And so it would be like we would all be together and she would be separate and then she'd come into the room and like we wouldn't be talking about her, but she probably assumed that we were because there was like drama with some of the other girls, and so it would kind of just put this like awkward feeling. And so I remember taking her apart. I think we were in Mexico City, and I pulled her aside because I could tell that she was struggling, and I didn't think it was fair that she was having such a hard time because I didn't really understand what people didn't like about her so much, other than that sometimes it was awkward when she would walk into a room, but I think she felt awkward because she thought we were talking about her, that whoever was talking about her. And so then it was just kind of like, there was this uncomfortability. And so I just pulled her aside and I was like, hey, like, I just want you to walk into the room and not think that we're all, like, not everyone's against you. Like, we all, I want you to feel welcome. Like, I want you to feel a part if you want to be a part. Like, I know this is so uncomfortable. We're all dating the same guy. We all want to be with the same guy.
Oh, that'd be so
weird. But like,
weird.
I also don't want you to feel that you're going through this process alone because it's really hard. This is a hard thing that we're all going through. And so we had this really great conversation there. And I do remember that. And then I think we talked in the mansion too. I remember like one of the first few days or like in the first week, we like had a nice talk in like the backyard where we talked about like our faith and like our families and stuff. So I'm just happy that she's happy. Because do you remember at the wedding? She was with us at the wedding.
Uh-huh.
And she mentioned that it was awkward seeing Ben because her memories of what the Bachelor.
Yeah, I remember that. But I didn't remember her like in the, on the show. So I didn't really know what she was talking about. I was just like, yeah, it's weird.
So it's so interesting because I look back on that time with so much like great, so many great memories and like friendships. And I think Ben is so wonderful. And I remember that was at Ashley and Jared's wedding, which was last year. So however many years after we filmed, and she was like, it's still, I knew how much it still affected her. So I'm really happy she had that moment on the recap and that everyone's like giving her like respect because she's an amazing. She's has her own podcast. She's an amazing podcast host. She's so smart. She's beautiful. And it's just cool to see her getting like redemption. In that way.
That's nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I do recommend her episode of Almost Famous. It was a good conversation, and it got emotional. Tanya, they want to know about your new radio show, and it's actually, we should have talked about this. Linda Marie says, I'd love for Tanya to talk about her new radio show, The Vibe. I'm loving it. I would love to hear what it was like when she first heard she was getting a new show and what it was like putting it all together.
It is actually pretty crazy because, like, I feel like, especially on this podcast, I've talked about how, you know, people in this industry have said that, like, my personality's too much, or I'm too much of a cartoon character. Like people can only handle me in doses. And so it's like all that kind of Mark's laughing. Cause you know, it's true.
It all, yes.
Yeah. And so that puts, you know, as confident as a person you are, that puts a seed of doubt in you that like is really, really hard to shake. And that kind of comes with my whole like imposter syndrome and that complex. And so when they came to me with this, they were like, the show was kind of already created. It didn't have a name already, but the show was kind of already there. But I basically have like, it's a 4-hour show and it's syndicated like across the country, which is crazy. It's like over 150 stations, like Saturdays and Sundays. So it's like, I have a weekend show, which is bizarre. And then I basically have creative freedom over 2 of the 4 hours. So my hours are the podcast hours. So I kind of like can talk about like if we, you know, have a really good podcast, I can talk about what we talked about and play that back. Or I can talk about other podcasts that I listen to and play back some of that. Or I can have other podcast hosts on as guests, literally whatever I want for that hour. And then I do like a new music hour where I play like all the newest songs and
your
like
dream.
My dream. Like it really, really is. So it's really cool. And then I host it with this guy named EJ from Los Angeles. And we're kind of like new getting to know each other. So that's been like kind of fun because I've never done anything with somebody like, you know, we'd met and we worked together, but like we've never worked together in a capacity like this. So that's been like really fun. And because we're also very different too. And so, and he does like the influencer hour and we talk about like a lot of trending viral things and it's been really cool.
Yeah.
And a challenge for sure.
It's so, I would assume that Easton and Mark agree and everyone listening, like so deserved for you to have that like opportunity and like your own show that has like your voice and your decisions. Because I think on a certain level, a lot of us deal with imposter syndrome, but you've named it and you've recognized it and have really pushed to get out of that headspace.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see it.
I know. And like as things, so I don't want to speak too soon, but like, cause I just want to like get on the other side of this, but I had a very like such a good conversation with somebody in my working world that was just like so liberating because for the first time I was like saying things that I actually felt and mm-hmm. like I felt respected and acknowledged, and it was just like a really cool thing, you know.
It's great. Yeah. Validation for Tanya. It feels to me like sometimes the people that are involved directly with the morning show on a regular basis, they're the ones that feed you all that stuff that we were mentioning before, the cartoon character, the doses, that sort of thing. But the higher echelon of iHeartRadio seems to get it more with you.
Totally.
And that's interesting to me. It's the people that are with you every day that seem to second guess you. The people that hear you from afar realize what they have with you.
Yeah. And it was like kind of cool because I'm like having this like, you know, it's, you know, because it's another show. So there are like, you know, logistics and things that you have to figure out in terms of like schedule and all that kind of stuff. And I got to like actually say to somebody who's like, you know, an authority figure, I was like, you know, I'm just, because he was saying how, you know, you built like a really strong brand. And I was like, you know, and a part of that brand is being a modern woman and speaking up for what I want and I feel like I deserve. And I was like, what the heck is happening?
Who is this?
Who is this? And he was like, you're right, you're right. And I was like, oh my God. It was like just a really cool conversation. Like, yeah. I felt really like, it felt really, really good.
That's a smart way of doing it, though, because that is part of your brand. And if they're going to mention your brand, then they've got to accept all of it.
Totally, totally.
I love that. Becca, question for you. So I'll find it here, but they're asking about how therapy is going. They're asking if there was a specific incident or moment that put that made you decide to go into therapy, and if there's any takeaways that you can share with us.
Therapy's going really well.
Rachel Lynn said this, by the way.
Who?
Rachel Lynn sent this question.
Rachel, thank you for your question. Therapy's going really well. Like I said, it's been really nice to talk to someone who really doesn't know anything about me except for what I tell her. So it's like, you know, she asked me questions that challenge me and make me think. And she also is like, asked me questions and I just ramble for a long time. And then I'm like, I stop.
You're like, what was
you
the
have
question?
Any feedback on that? Any feedback there? But yeah, I honestly probably should have gone to a therapist probably a while ago, I would imagine. I think it's great for people to have it, just talk to someone. And I've always said that about everyone else. I'm like, yeah, it's therapy's so great. But I was always so resistant to it because I thought, like, I'm fine. Like, I can handle my problems. I'm emotionally mature enough. I am, like, mentally stable.
Right, I'm just going to pray about this.
Yeah. Pray about it. Uh-huh. And I think with everything going on in this civil rights movement and this, I've had some really difficult conversations with family and friends, and I realized that it was really taking a toll on my, like, mental state because I was constantly thinking about it. I felt like I had talked to I talked to people about it, my friends and, like, people that I trust and respect their opinion, but I just thought I needed to do more because I wasn't, I don't know. I was just in this weird, I don't really have anxiety. I don't get stressed out and dwell on things for long. I'm able to kind of process them and then either store them in the back of my head and maybe it's all coming to the surface. And that's why I'm like, whoa, I need to talk to someone. But it's just been really good for me to have someone. And like I said earlier, it's been nice knowing that if something pops up and, or if like 95P and I have an argument or something happens and I have a moment of like aha of awareness about something, I'm able to go, okay, I'm going to bring that up and talk about that and see if she has any insight. And it's like, she's a person. Like, she's just a person. It's not like she's some
totally,
like, you know, like spiritual God or anything, but she's, you know, she's studied to do what she does. And I just feel it's been really helpful talking to a professional. But yeah, I probably should have seen someone a long time ago. And
I kind of feel like, now, I feel like I have, my sister is a psychologist. And so she's like, you know, professional therapist and does all this. And she's also my sister. So she like loves me unconditionally and loves me more than anything in the world. So I feel like there's, you know, she can't really help me in that, not like perspective, but like I always feel like I go to her for like really big things like that because I do like really value her. She always just kind of takes a step back and like helps me see the big picture instead of like my view on it, and it's like so helpful, and it's coming from like a place of love because it's my sister. Yeah.
And I was gonna say, I feel like even though you know her and she's your sister and she loves you unconditionally, I feel like the conversations we've had, she like challenges you.
Totally.
and it's not just like says what you want to hear.
Not at all. Like very much not at all.
And that's the part I've had to accept as someone, because I'm so confident in thinking I know what I know and I know how to handle things, and someone being able to say like, what if you did it this way? And it's gentle, but it's like, maybe try this instead because whatever you're doing isn't working. Mm-hmm. So it's been good.
Oh, it's so wow. You guys, growing up is so gnarly.
It's so hard.
It's so gnarly. Like, I can't even like wrap my head around some things. Like, I read this book called Codependent No More.
Oh yeah.
Truly, And I'm like an independent woman, like I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. Do you know what I mean? And yet I'm reading this book because a friend of mine suggested it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I totally see a lot of these characteristics in me. You know, like I'm a caretaker. I'm a giver. You just start to see these tendencies in you.
You should read that.
There was like certain chapters. It's weird because it talks a lot. It's like dealing with like an alcoholic spouse.
Oh.
Which is not the case for me, but you have to like kind of just
put that
in the back of your head, because a lot of the takeaways are really, really good and fascinating. And there was a big chapter and it was like totally reminded me of like things about you. And it was just like the people that just kind of sweep things under the rug. They don't talk them through, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I almost wanted to like just send you the chapter.
I hate talking about things. Like, I really hate addressing issues.
And I love addressing them.
Can we just put it somewhere else and maybe deal with it next time it comes up? And then it comes up again and I still don't want to deal with it. But
yeah. It's not even about being codependent on, like, a partner necessarily. It's, like, also being codependent on, like,
others' approval and stuff.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's good. Can't relate. Just kidding.
Let's do a quick rapid fire, and then we can get to the game. And we'll get Easton and I involved in this one because this person...
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I saw a lot of comments about people wanting more involvement from you and Easton. So, well, I mean, no, not putting all the pressure on y'all, but that is some of the requests that we've seen.
I don't know why we don't do a mantle with you guys.
Yes. I mean, feel free. That's fine. You can do that. Whatever you'd like to do, it is your podcast.
We're here every week.
And you know what? We have reborn. So
that's right.
We do whatever we want.
So here, we'll get us involved in this. This is a rapid fire, and so each of us can answer it. We'll go around the room. This is from Sarah. So it's firsts. Her theme is firsts, and then it goes into favorites. But here we go. Here we go. First kiss, Tanya.
Oh, his name?
I think name and anything about that moment that's interesting.
Ryan Compton, he didn't remember it. It was so sad, but then I ended up dating him, and we're friends now. So cute.
Becca?
Do I go now? Tyler Taunton, he was, we talked to him. We called him on the podcast. Yeah. It was in my driveway. I remember he put his tongue in my mouth, and I thought, like, I literally felt like I just lost my virginity. It was so ambitious for a first kiss.
Aggressive, like.
He was gentle. He was, like, sweet, you know. Okay. He didn't, like, overdo it. But I was so pure and innocent that I was like, what am I going to tell my mom? Do I tell my mom? I just remember walking away being like, I just did something so sinful.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That is so...
I know.
It's cute. So Easton.
It's cute.
Her name is Rebecca Campbell, and we kissed at the Scotts Valley Roller Rink, and it was memorable because right afterwards she said, there's something you should know about me. I'm on probation.
Oh, no.
Because I was caught with marijuana. And
wow.
What a thrill. I was with a criminal and I got my first kiss. It was so exciting.
I so picture you being at a roller rink.
I'd still hang out at roller rinks.
COVID infested.
Tina Stegman, I know that I didn't know what I was doing. And so we were in a room full of couples who were also kissing. So I took that as the opportunity, and I made this noise a lot.
Ew.
Because I had no clue what I was doing.
Ew, didn't you practice on, like, poster boards?
First of all, no. But second of all, I don't think that gives you great training.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's
it
no
did for
reason.
Me. I was, like, great out of the gate.
I don't know if... We should call, what's his name?
Ryan Compton.
And he didn't remember, so clearly not.
But I did a lot of kissing with him after that, so he knows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. First drink.
It wasn't like a one and done.
Wait, how old was everyone during the first
drink? I was late. I was 15.
I was 16.
Yeah, I think I was 16. 15, 16.
I was 14.
Playa. First drink, Tanya.
7 years old.
Yeah, I'm like... out of the birth canal. I don't know. It's weird for me because, like, in Serbia, there's no, like, legal age to drink. So I honestly, and I had older brothers and sisters. So I feel like I was drinking very early, maybe 13.
Oh,
yeah. Smirnoff Ice, baby. Throwing
Ooh.
Them back. That's right.
I
Wait,
was
13.
Like,
wait, how old are you? Wait.
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade? Yeah, probably eighth grade.
I was literally, I think, 22 or 23.
Wow.
I had this like really cheap wine that was almost like fruit juice. I can't think of what it's called right now.
Frazia or whatever that is in a box.
No, but it was something similar.
Yeah.
Mango flavor or something.
Easty.
I've never had alcohol. Ever.
Wow. I can't even say that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've never tried it.
Okay. I was a freshman in high school, and I went to a guy's house for a sleepover, but it was actually a party he was having, and there were tons of people there, and I tried beer, and it was disgusting. And then somebody gave me a Jack and Coke, and I drank enough of that to feel the effects, and it scared the hell out of me, and then that's the most drunk I've ever been in my life. Wow. And I was just kind of barely buzzed.
It scared the heck out of you, barely buzzed.
Yeah, the fact that I could feel it and I knew something was happening to me really scared me. I just like
sat. Yeah, you know what's interesting is like there is something really weird about like when you get super drunk and you don't like blacking out is kind of frightening when you think about it.
That's my worst nightmare. The idea of somebody the next day telling me what I did the night before, never.
Like there's nothing worse. Oh, I'm having PTSD just like thinking about it. But like reading the text messages that you send like at like midnight being like, hey.
Okay, I don't have those, but
My gosh, you know how many I deleted, and they only delete like on my end, like they don't like suck it back, but I'm like, I just can't read it. I need it off my phone.
Oh, I have deleted some messages. Sometimes I even just delete my part so that like, you know.
Yeah, you just can't. I can't go back and
rehash what I've done.
No.
Tanya, first concert.
Shakira in Inglewood. I think it was at the Forum actually. And it was really a thrill, Shakira. And it was with my, Shakira fan club.
Yeah. I mean, obviously as you would expect.
Right.
Mine was right. I think, Justin Timberlake and Christina Aguilera. That's the first like big one I can remember. I won tickets doing a lip sync contest at the local water park.
Nice.
Wow.
What did you lip sync?
You're the one that I won from Greece.
Wow.
We competed against one girl. She was singing Lil Bow Wow, so we had a shoe in.
It was two people in the contest.
Oh, yeah.
That poor
tight
girl.
Race.
Yeah. That poor girl.
50-50 yeah. Chance.
She was like 8.
We should have called it a tie. Easton.
You know what, Mark? In life, there are winners
okay,
and losers.
Okay, but yeah.
That's right.
Come on now.
My first concert was in the year 2000, and it was a festival called BFD at the Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California. And the headliners were Blink-182 and Stained, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. Stained. Yeah. What is that? It's like a rock group, right?
Yeah, yeah. They were like a – I'm trying to remember what their big hit was, but they're not around anymore. It was a great time.
Mine was Springsteen, Dane County Coliseum, February 2nd, 1981, before any of you were born.
Wow.
And it also drastically affected my life because I'm a big fan to this day, to the point that it annoys my family.
Oh, I was going to say, didn't you get a photo with him? But that was Sting.
That was Sting, yeah.
Yeah, different
very
person.
Different person.
Not
Sting
Bruce
Spring.
Sting, yeah.
Tanya, what was your first car?
My first car was like an old, I don't really know the, I'm not good with like models of cars, but it was like this old beat up like Mercedes. It was like legit because it was like Mercedes,
whoa.
But like it was like old school, you know what I mean? I think my mom had had it for I don't know how long, but named her Ginger. And I had like a bright hot pink fuzzy steering wheel cover and bright pink like dice in the mirror. Yeah, my mom went and got them for me from Walmart because I had to have hot pink. And I guess that was like the only place that sold it.
Wow.
And yeah, she was real cute.
I had a 2003 black Nissan Xterra, and it had like a grill guard on the front because it was my cousin's, and that grill guard honestly saved me so many like dents in the front of my car because like I'd go to the Sonic parking lot and then I'd back up and I'd hit something, but it would just be my grill guard.
Yeah.
It was cute though. I mean, I had a great first car. I didn't drive till I was like 17. I was scared, so.
Yeah, mine was like old. It was like beat up, so I didn't even care when I hit things.
Yikes! I've been in the car with you. That is scary. Yeah.
Lost the hubcap here and there, but you know, it's all good. It's an old car, so parents didn't care.
And my first car was a 1996 Isuzu Rodeo. It was green, and I put an exhaust tip on the exhaust pipe, so it was super loud.
I
got pulled over for exhibition of speed, and I didn't get a ticket because of privilege. And I was let go because my dad's a police officer, and they told me, be on your merry way. Do whatever you wish, Mr. White Person. Enjoy your life.
You were like, my dad's a bodybuilder and a police officer, FYI.
Look at my last name. Don't mess with me in this town. And then
is exhibition of speed different than speeding?
Yes, exhibition of speed is you're not speeding, but you're making it look like you are. It's if you're like revving really high or like burning out your wheels.
That's illegal?
It's illegal, yeah.
Wow.
Everyone out there with the loud exhausts and burning out, don't do it. You'll get pulled over.
All right. I had my dad bought me a Renault Le Car. he bought it for $50. And honestly, wow. I think he got ripped off because that's what garbage this car was. And I hated it.
Lamar.
So my first, they ended up getting my mom a new car, and then I got hers, and it was a 1980 Pontiac Phoenix. And that was a sweet ride.
Yeah.
Wait, $50 for a working
car? A working
car,
car, yes. It was a working car.
That's actually crazy. Terrifying. Yeah.
Oh. It was. Hey, Tanya, what's your favorite sad song?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
This is like a dream for me. I'm going to go with just like my first instinct, which was John Mayer, Split Screen Sadness. Oof. I still like it's still I could just listen to it and just cry. And
I have two that come to mind that are like really sad, which are The Scientist by Coldplay.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And Gravity by Sarah Bareilles. Oh. You know that one?
Yeah.
It's deep.
It is deep.
I love sad songs.
Me too. Oh, man. I have an entire playlist. Hold on. Let me just really quick.
But like
while we
even
continue.
When I'm in like a happy mood, I used to like to light a candle and sit in my dark apartment and just put sad music on and pretend that I was going through something. I should do that now. It might be too deep though. It might be too real.
I literally had like I have a playlist that's just called sad. Sad.
What are some of
And then I have it called Breakup Suck Part 2.
Oh my God.
Lewis Capaldi on those.
Sad. You know what the first song on Sad playlist is?
Split Screen Sadness.
By John Mayer. Wow.
Those are like some breakup like anthems though.
When You're Gone, Avril Lavigne.
Oh wow. My gosh.
Oh, Just for Love, Imogen Heap. Ooh.
I love that one. Mm. I do love Imogen Heap though.
This is just good. All right. Sorry, continue.
Houston.
You know, I don't listen to sad songs, and so this is hard for me, but the first thing that comes to mind is Stay Together for the Kids by Blink-182.
Love Blink-182.
I love Blink-182, and song came out right when my parents were getting divorced, and it really affected me in a big way, and I'll listen to it now and feel very emotional.
Mine's real obscure. It's called So Much Mine by a band called The Story, and it's about your daughters growing up and... You were so much mine, but now I reach for you and I can't find you. And it used to make me cry before I had children. So now forget it.
Oh my, I could not even imagine.
Yeah, it's really powerful.
Is being a girl dad like so gnarly?
Being a girl dad's fantastic. It's the greatest thing in the world.
I just feel like it's so, because it's true. It's like you're totally theirs. And then like one, there's like a day where it's just like.
Yes. You start to feel them becoming the stars of the show. You know what I mean by that? Like if this were a TV show, you know, my kids were Mark and Amy's kids. And now we are their parents, you know?
Right.
I'm Allie's dad, where she used to be Mark's daughter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They are now the main characters, and we are now peripheral characters in this TV show.
It's like, but it's like, I feel like it's different with boys because boys are just like, boys, you know, like meh.
just like meh.
Like girls are just like emotional and attached and just like sweet.
Yeah, but that behavior is taught for, you know.
That's true. Mm.
All right, next one, Tanya. Favorite city?
Los Angeles, baby.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with it. Fine. Everybody talks crap on this city. I love this city. It has made me some of the best friends I've made in my life. It's given me opportunities I never would have imagined. And it's like so unique and cool. Mm-hmm. I love LA. Bye.
Can I say Maui?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Maui. I just feel.
It's a good one.
I love LA too, but it does have its like, like boys, meh.
No, it does not. Get out of here with your LA hate.
No, I don't hate. I live here, so I love LA, but there, it's as a huge city, it comes with its like minor things here and there. But I love Hawaii in general, and I feel like my best, most free self when I go that I can recharge. So it's probably my favorite place.
That's a good one.
I'm with you, Tanya. I love LA so much. I've loved it since I was a little boy. I've always wanted to move here, and I've enjoyed every single second since I have.
I love that.
Yeah, I do. I also get defensive when people kind of, you know, crap on LA, especially back where I come from. So I do get defensive because I do love LA. But I'm going to go with Madison, Wisconsin, my hometown. It's just got a unique energy. It's just got its own vibe like I've never felt before. So I'm going with that.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Tanya, what is your favorite carnival food?
Is this Easton's question?
Well, it's all of us.
I meant, did he ask?
No, these are all from Sarah. Thank you, Sarah, for the rapid fire.
What's a carnival food?
You know.
Oh, my God. What, like a funnel cake?
Yeah, funnel cake is great.
Fried Oreos?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll go with the fried Oreo.
Have you had it?
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm only picking from things I've had, which is not much. But I have had a deep fried Oreo, and I have had a funnel cake. I think that might be the extent of my carnival food, so I'm going to go with the deep fried Oreo. Okay.
Mine is like a deep fried corn dog and isn't the funnel cake. Yeah.
Isn't a deep fried corn dog already?
That's like corn dog
already deep fried.
Yeah, but there's something different about the fair corn dog. It's like double fried or something.
Oh man, fair food is my favorite thing on the planet. And I always try the craziest stuff, but I got to say the All-Star, it's deep fried Oreos. They're so good. I get them every single time. I get like 6 of them when I go. They're so good. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm going deep fried cheese. I'm a Wisconsin boy, so deep fried cheese. Mozzarella sticks are an example.
Oh,
and
cheese curds.
You don't have diarrhea from
mozzarella
that?
Sticks. I can do cheese curds from Wisconsin, which are deep fried cheddar cheese. Give me an issue. That okay. I'm in the bathroom, laying on the floor naked, until Red Star comes to rescue me. But the other one, mozzarella sticks, I'm way into.
I think mozzarella sticks might be my favorite food.
Just period of all foods.
So honestly, Easton, have you had Sonic's mozzarella sticks?
I have had Sonic's mozzarella sticks. They're extremely good.
I think they're superior. Personally.
All right, let's take a break and then we'll play a game. You ready? I have steaks and everything. I have it all planned out.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes, 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
2 sisters and 1 friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. Becca, let's talk about one of our goals for 2024, shopping sustainably.
Yes, and you know what's been amazing? Being able to shop sustainably at Macy's.
Agreed. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference.
It's so refreshing. I've been loving exploring their selection from brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more.
Plus, here's something really special. Macy's is not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. Did you know that they're bringing more parks to more people by supporting the Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards project?
It's incredible. They're transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces, making sure our communities are healthy and livable for generations to come.
And here's where we can all make a difference. You can join Macy's in this incredible effort by donating online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Every little bit counts, and together we can create a greener, more sustainable future.
So head over to macys.com/purpose to learn more and make your contribution today. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
All right, here's how I envision this going. Now, I asked each of you, you all got texts from me in the last week asking me the artist you know the most about. We'll reveal them
this
in a moment.
Such a disadvantage for me.
Why?
No, and me too. I don't even remember who I said to you. I think I gave you a few options.
Yeah, you know everything about everyone that you're obsessed with.
It's not about them as people. This is going to be about lyrics.
Oh crap.
Now, whoever does the worst will then have to put in earbuds in their phone, go on Spotify or whatever, and play a song only they can hear and sing us the first verse and chorus of a song.
Okay.
Okay, but I just would like to preface this with, had you said this would be about lyrics, I would have had a very different answer.
That's why he didn't say it. No advantage.
I told you the artist you know the most about.
Who did you choose?
I would have chose John Mayer on the lyrics. Hello, I had an entire club dedicated to his lyrics.
Then good. Then I'm glad I didn't choose John Mayer, because that would have been an unfair advantage.
Wow.
Becca chose T-Swizzle, Taylor Swift. Tanya chose Selena Gomez. Ooh. Easton, of course, Hillary Duff.
Tanya's regretting her decision. But we love Selena Gomez, but she's regretting
love. The lyrics aspect might crush me.
All it is, okay. It's very simple. I'm going to name a lyric. You tell me what song it's from.
Oh my God, very simple. Let's go.
Here we go.
Let's go.
We'll just keep the order we've been doing it in. Tanya, you'll go first. And I started these easier, and they're going to get harder as we go. Tanya. And of course, The extra added difficulty is it's me speaking them and not her singing them. Tanya, thought I could chase you with a cold evening.
That's it.
That's all you get.
Thought I could chase you with a cold evening.
Thought I could chase you with a cold evening.
Trying to make up a song with those lyrics.
Hands to myself.
No, that is back to you. I try to pick first few songs you've heard a million times on Kiss FM. All right, Becca. Loving him is like driving a new Maserati down a dead-end street.
Red.
Very good. Easton. I'm falling through the door, flying across the floor.
Oh, that's so yesterday?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. When I touch you,
there are no
helping.
There
here.
Are no steals, but Becca, if you want to play it, you can.
I falling through the door.
Wait. Is it Why Not?
Nope.
No. Oh my god. What is it?
Anywhere but here.
I knew the song, I just couldn't get to the chorus.
After one round, same. Becca 1, Tanya 0, Easton 0. Tanya, you got me sipping on something. I can't compare to nothing I've ever known.
Oh?
Do you know this?
Yeah, I actually can picture it. You got me sipping.
Oh, I think I know.
Can you sing a little more?
No.
That's all I got for you. You got me sipping on something I can't compare to nothing I've ever known.
Come on, you know it.
Good to you?
That's The Heart Wants What It Wants, which I believe you've listened to on repeat about 50
times.
When it first came out.
I was actually going to guess Can't Keep My Hands to Myself, so I would have gotten wrong.
Tanya, start warming up your voice. Becca,
not good.
I'm spilling wine in the bathtub. You kissed my face, and we're both drunk.
Dress.
Yep. Oh, I would not have guessed that
one.
They
know nothing about us.
Easton, do you see a single tear? It isn't going to happen here.
Do you see
a single tear?
Come on, Easton.
It isn't going to happen here.
Come clean?
So yesterday.
No, yesterday.
My God, Becca.
I
think it's going to be a battle between Tanya and Easton as to who has to sing, because they're both doing very poorly. Tanya, in your eyes, there's a heavy blue, one to love and one to lose.
In your eyes, there's a heavy blue. One to light and one to you. It's a song she did with.
Come on.
I get to you. I've been running through the market to get to you. I wanna get to. What's that song called?
Oh.
Wolves.
This is.
Embarrassing.
So that's Becca said that, right? Tanya doesn't get that.
Yeah.
Okay. Just clarify. Not right.
Becca, I was riding shotgun with my hair undone in the front seat of his car.
Our
that's
song.
Right. Very good.
Dude,
I was riding shotgun. Man, this quiz was made
it
for
was.
Me and T Swift lyrics.
Easton.
I think if you played the
that's
drop versus Mark's.
Exactly. This is difficulty. Becca's having no problem with this game. Easton, shedding every color, trying to find a pigment of truth.
Shedding every color, trying to find a pigment of truth.
Oh, I know this one.
Becca knows everyone else's and
my God. Where did I go right?
No, Becca.
Is it Coming Clean?
Yeah, it's Come Clean.
Jesus.
Oh.
Or Come Clean.
This is actually insane.
All right, Tanya. Two more. No one love you like I love you. Never cheat, never lie. Never put no one above you. I gave you space and time. All right.
Hold on. Say it one more time.
No one love
I know
you.
These lyrics.
No one love you like I love you. Never cheat, never lie.
And no one love you like I love you.
Never put no one above you. I gave you space and time.
Never put no one above you. I gave you space and time.
I think it's not fast.
Oh. Say it again, Mark.
No one love you like I love you. Never cheat, never lie. Never put no one above you. I gave you space and time.
Oh, Lose You to Love Me.
No, Feel Me.
I was going to get
Becca. I want you to get all five of these. New to town with a made-up name in the Angel City, chasing fortune and fame.
Got me.
Wait, one more time.
New to town with a made-up name in the Angel City, chasing fortune and fame.
Oh, Gosh, I'm so frustrated because there's a song that's on the tip of my tongue, and I don't know if it's the right one, but I can't think of it. What is it?
The Lucky One.
I would my not least have, favorite on
yeah,
that
Yeah, I would
album.
Not have guessed that.
That is devastating.
Easton, come on. You got to get one here. Don't have to be a genius to figure out what's between us.
Oh, my God. That's the math.
That is the math. Very good.
Wow.
Oh, Tanya's in trouble song. Now. Tanya, this is your last question. You needed to stay in the game. Take it or leave it, baby. Take it or leave it. But I know you won't leave it because I know that you need it.
Come and get
no,
it.
No, fetish.
I was so confident about
Literally
that.
Literally so confident.
I mean, the game's over. Becca won. Tanya lost. I think we can.
Wait, what's the
all
next
right,
one?
One more for Becca. Don't know if Snow White's house is near or far away.
The best
Very
day.
Very good. And
oh.
Easton, finally, you can get two. You can get on the board here with number two if you can get this one. Blue skies are above me. My blonde hair is everywhere.
Blue skies above me. My blonde hair is everywhere. Sweet 16.
Sweet 16 is correct. Very
wow.
good. Final score, Becca, 4. Easton, 2. Tanya, 0. So, Tanya.
Really disappointed in myself that it wasn't 5.
I'm actually really disappointed in myself. That is, like, atrocious.
You won't tell Selena.
And I literally was just telling her how much I love her new song. I'm like, I love Past Life. It's so
Yeah,
good.
But a couple of years from now, I'll give you a lyric from Past Life and your eyes will glaze
and
over.
It'll just be out of my brain. Out of
All
my
right,
brain.
So what,
only hears lyrics with the melody.
What are you going to sing for Thank us, you. Tanya? What's your what Selena Gomez song do you choose to sing for us?
Oh, so I pick a Selena song?
Pick a Selena song. And then stick your headphones into your phone so only you can hear it.
And then you guys have to guess
No,
it?
We're just going to enjoy it.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to get headphones. Hang on.
I feel like this isn't a punishment for her.
Yeah, this is like her dream. It's what she likes to do.
Do we have any requests? Any Selena requests?
Something that really challenges your vocal range.
Okay.
That's already slightly limited.
Okay. Excuse me.
I think something we know, though, would be nice, you know?
I can't hear you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Something,
you know. Something that was a hit on the radio.
Okay, something that was a hit. Okay. I could do that.
Oh, she's bobbing her head. She's moving to the beat. Feeling the melody. Are you going to have to read the lyrics or do you know them?
I know this one. Oh. The uppers keep making love to each other. And I'll try. Can't keep my hands to myself. My hands to myself. My hands to myself. Here it comes. My hands to myself. I mean, I could, but why would I want to? My hands to myself. I mean, what a bop that was.
Very nice. Very wow. nice. But you know what's funny? It's Tanya that has had this conversation recently where we were talking about what draws you to a song, the melody or the lyrics. And I said, I'm a melody guy. I don't know what they're talking about. If they have the right hook and the right melody, I love it. When Tanya said, no. Me, all about the lyrics. All I care about is lyrics. Meanwhile, she knows zero lyrics.
Well, she learned something about herself. So
even
she actually
right there,
more about the
she
melody.
Wasn't singing along to that song with proper lyrics.
That's true. That song's not really about the lyrics. I mean, come on. Lose You
well,
to Love Me, I could
is,
really get into that
is
one.
That some artists are more specific and are known for their lyrics, such as Taylor Swift.
Correct.
Whereas certain people are more about like what melody is going to like draw people to it for a fun time. And they're not so, the lyrics are whatever, but they're not the main focus of the song. Whereas Taylor Swift has some lyrics in her songs where I'm like, wow.
I know. How did you know that in my brain?
Yes. Yeah. And like how she words things is she, yeah.
Like New Romantics?
I mean, Death by a Thousand Cuts, it has a happy melody, but the lyrics are so sad.
Yeah.
It's a breakup song. Wow. Don't even get me started on this.
All right. How about one email before we go?
Okay.
It's from JoJo, because I think this is actually an easy one. My boyfriend and I have been dating for almost 2 years. I'm 26, he's 31. He has 2 kids. I have no kids. Recently, he left his phone face up on a text message while he was sleeping. He was being flirty with a girl. My heart shattered. I thought to myself, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and let him explain himself. So I said, who's Cynthia? He got super defensive and walked out. We broke up. I take that as cheating. A couple weeks later, he apologized. We agreed to work it out. I asked for him to clean out his phone, give me his password, and share his location with me at all times. The controlling overtook me. I was constantly checking his location, questioning him. He told me he couldn't deal with it anymore, and he dumped me on my birthday. Then, a couple of weeks later, we started texting again. We got back together. The problem is, he never apologized for dumping me on my birthday. He never celebrated me. He never got me a gift. He didn't buy me dinner. Nothing. I've never received a Christmas, Valentine's, birthday gift, or date from him. It makes me feel like he doesn't love me, or I'm just not enough for him. He's brought up being on a tight budget, but then I see him buy things. He goes out with his buddies, so I'm not sure where I stand. Please help. What do I do?
JoJo.
Come on, JoJo.
Come on. You know what to do.
You know. You do know what to do.
You know what to do. This is not your dude. You do not want to be in a relationship where you feel like you have to control the whole relationship. I mean, that's not a relationship. That's not a relationship.
2 years and zero gifts or dates?
Yeah, come on. You deserve to go on a romantic date with intention and plan behind it. You deserve to have someone bring you flowers and get you gifts. It doesn't have to be about money. It's about thought.
Right. Totally about thought. I'm going to suggest something proactive for you, JoJo. I think you should read the book Codependent No More.
I thought you were going to say Calling the One.
We moved on from Calling the One, and now we're on Codependent No More. No. But like, honestly though, because I think that sometimes you can just attach yourself to this like idea and you make excuses for people and things like that. And like, you can't control this Cynthia chick that's texting him, but what you can control is like your willingness to tolerate that, you know? And like, no.
Agreed.
Yeah, and it seems like you can't just get away from him, so it might come to the point of you like blocking his number so that you don't keep restarting this unhealthy pattern of being in a relationship with someone who really does not treat you how you should be treated. And normally, like, if someone really makes an effort to be better and to change and to show up for someone, I always am like, you know, I guess it's under your control to give them a chance if you feel that, but he's not doing that.
Yeah, and also you have to pay attention because I think actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people can say all the right things, but when it comes to their actions, that's what you really need to hone in on. And like, are they showing you what they feel mm-hmm. or just telling you? Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's showing you he doesn't care.
Yeah, he's showing you he doesn't care. And you deserve so much more. At the very least, you deserve someone who treats you with respect and takes you on a date and multiple dates, but you start with the first one.
Yeah, you seem
like dates don't have to cost money.
No, you seem focused on that getting dumped on your birthday and that he owes you an apology. And we've used this quote before, and it's a great one. But life becomes easier when you learn to accept the apology you never got. But on top of that, so forget about that. Move on from that. There's still a laundry list of problems here that you got to move on from. You deserve better. Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry you're in that position. It's hard. It's so easy from the outside to be like, come on. But I know it's hard when you're in it. But you 100% deserve much better than what you're settling.
It's like the emailer last week. Tanya, you weren't here. But the woman who realized, this man is not a part of my perfect, beautiful life. And she had that revelation. And she knew it. Mm-hmm. And
wait, tell me about her. What happened? Should I go back and listen to it?
Yeah, because I don't remember much
else
about
it. Do you listen to our podcast?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Becca and I worked hard on that show.
Support.
It was just, how do I tell him? They had a son together. And they've gone back and forth a few times. She realized it is not for her. This relationship's not happening. She does not want to spend her life with this man. But she also doesn't want to do that to her son, to be raised by a single mom. And she doesn't know how to tell him. Because he cheated before. So we were like, he cheated, tell him, it's fine, he'll get it, it's okay, don't worry about it. The son loves you no matter what. But the way she phrased it was, he is not a part of my perfect, beautiful life. And I thought that was fantastic. That is a great revelation to have, and it's time for Cynthia to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she like totally acknowledged. No, it's time for JoJo to have it. Cynthia is the other.
Yeah, that's right, sorry.
We don't care about Cynthia.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, it was cool because she like wrote in asking for help of how to handle it, but she had this like epiphany of like, this guy isn't it for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Epiphanies are the greatest.
Oh, please.
They're great.
Like, you guys had an epiphany that this show was being a little sonsy lately, and now it's back, baby.
Yeah. Sometimes you need an epiphany to get on the other side of a Tiffany.
And a piff to fix the tiff.
And a piff to fix the tiff. Or a tiff to have the epiph.
Ooh, sometimes you need a tiff to have the epiph. Uh-huh. Wow, it's good stuff.
Not going to get anything like that outside of scrubbing in.
those
life lessons.
Yeah. They only can be found in one place and one place only.
That's right.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. I hope that you are all safe and healthy and happy. And yeah, we love you.
Should we do Mantle next week?
I'm totally down.
Okay, great. Me too.
I think we're going to have a guest next week.
Oh, we do?
I don't know. Double check. We'll just double check. But we're going to do a Mantle soon with Mark and Easton because we're going to give the people what they want.
It's what the people want.
All right. See you next week.
Oh, I can't wait.
Bye.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need two or three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps get them through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.